College basketball's March Madness reminds us that big-time college athletics can look like big business. And as John Yang reports, it is a fitting backdrop for the Supreme Court arguments today over compensation for college players.
As the men's and women's college basketball tournaments head to their championship games, the NCAA had a big contest today at the highest court in the land. The case could have tremendous consequences for big-time college basketball and football.
It's a huge case, without question.
American NCAA. University Law School professor Jeremy Duru.
One piece of a much larger puzzle, a bigger battle, one that's been brewing for decades and decades about student-athlete rights generally.
In the name of protecting amateurism, the NCAA caps the money schools may offer student athletes.
And it limits them essentially to the scholarship and to cost of attendance, which is a couple of thousand dollars above the scholarship level for travel and other incidentals.
The college athletes who brought the suit argue that illegally limits competition for their skills, a violation of federal antitrust laws.
The NCAA kind of fears that idea because if it's the case that different schools can recruit on different levels with different benefits, then some schools will out-recruit other schools. So we're talking about non-cash educational benefits that would assist with academic pursuits like computer equipment or science equipment.
If the athletes win, it could open the door to other compensation. Arguing for the NCAA today, attorney Seth Waxman cited the long history of college athletics.
For more than 100 years, the distinct character of college sports has been that it's played by students who are amateurs, which is to say that they are not paid for their play.
Justices across the ideological spectrum seemed skeptical. Justice Samuel Alito.
But in fact, they are paid. They get lower admission standards. They get tuition, room and board, and other things. That's a form of pay.
Justice Elena Kagan.
You can only ride on the history, I think, Mr. Waxman, for so long. I mean, a great deal has changed since 100 years ago in the way that student athletes are treated.
At the same time, justices seem worried about where siding with the athletes could lead. Chief Justice John Roberts compared it to a game of Jenga.
You've got this nice, solid block that protects the sort of product the schools want to provide. And you pull out one log and then another and everything's fine, then another and another, and all of a sudden the whole thing comes crashing down.
Justice Sonia Sotomayor also expressed concern.
How do we know that we're not just destroying the game as it exists?
The Supreme Court doesn't answer a question for a particular case. It's always got its eye on what may be the next case, what's coming down the road.
Marcia Coyle is chief Washington correspondent for the National Law Journal.
We actually have on that court a number of sports enthusiasts. I think they're very much aware of the games and how they're played, as well as how the NCAA and the game has changed since the last time the Supreme Court had the NCAA before it, which was 37 years ago.
For years, many college athletes have argued they are essentially employees, spending as much as 40 hours a week on team activities that can generate billions of dollars for universities and athletic conferences.
Coaches are getting 6- and 7-figure salaries. Administrators are getting salaries. Conference commissioners are getting salaries. Other stakeholders are getting money. And the student athletes themselves, the most indispensable piece of the puzzle, are getting nothing.
In arenas and on social media, players in the men's basketball tournament have used the hashtag #NotNCAAProperty to protest rules barring them from being paid for the use of their names, images, or likenesses on jerseys, video games, and product endorsements, a separate issue being fought in state legislatures and in Congress.
You've got court cases, you've got state legislation, you've got federal legislation, and you have student-athlete direct action, all serving to push against the NCAA's eligibility limits.
And now a case before the 9 referees on the Supreme Court who will make their call by summer. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm John Yang.